Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the Egyptians in D.C. It is Saturday, the 16th day of August, Anno Domini 2025, which, by the way, is my 45th anniversary. And you, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Michael Oden.
And at 9 minutes after the hour, we are going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose, kick off your shoes, don't get the blues. Have you paid your dues? Here comes the news! After decades of connecting Americans to its online service and the internet through telephone lines, AOL recently announced that it is finally shutting down its dial-up modem service on September 30th of this year. This announcement marks the end of a technology that served as the primary gateway to the World Wide Web for millions of users throughout the 1990s and early 2000s. AOL confirmed the shutdown date in a help message to customers, and I quote, AOL routinely evaluates its products and services and has decided to discontinue dial-up internet. This service will no longer be available in AOL plans, end quote. Although along with the dial-up service, AOL announced it will retire its AOL dialer software and the AOL Shield browser on the same date. The dialer software managed the connection process between computers and AOL's network, while Shield was a web browser optimized for slower connections and older operating systems. Wow. AOL's dial-up service launched as America Online, remember that, in 1991, as a closed commercial online service with dial-up roots extending back to Quantum Link for Commodore computers in 1985. Golly, Ned, I remember all of this. But it wasn't until 1994 that AOL users could actually access the real internet. Back then, websites were measured in kilobytes, images were small and compressed, and video was essentially impossible. So dial-up was just fine. According to the 2022 U.S. Census data, approximately 175,000 American households still connect to the internet through dial-up services. These users typically live in rural areas where broadband infrastructure doesn't exist or remains prohibitively expensive to install. The persistence of dial-up highlights the ongoing digital divide in the United States. While urban users enjoy gigabit fiber connections, some rural residents still rely on the same technology that powered the internet of 1995. Even basic tasks like loading a modern web page designed with the assumption of broadband speeds can take minutes over a dial-up connection, or sometimes it doesn't work at all. The September 30 shutdown date gives remaining dial-up users just over 1 month now to find alternative internet access, a challenge for those in areas where alternatives don't exist. Some may switch to satellite or cellular services despite the higher costs. Others may lose internet access entirely, further widening the digital divide that dial-up, for all its limitations, helped bridge for three decades. I can't wait to tell my grandkids about how to get on the internet back in the day. We had to sacrifice a robot. Their dying screams haunt me to this day. Our poll of the week at soundbites.org. That's Bites with a Y. Francis would like us to remind you is AOL announces September shutdown for dial-up internet access. Your choices are no! AOL still does dial-up? AOL still exists? And what the heck is dial-up? So far, we've got 25 votes, and AOL still exists is number one, with over half of them. And, of course, you can vote in the poll at soundbites.org. That's Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. And when you've done that, then you can come and give us a call at 5... but check first to make sure nobody's using the modem. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800. 790-0415.
I rewired my whole house so I could unplug every other phone extension when I was on the modem, and I was able to convince my wife we could get a second phone line, for internet. And then when Roadrunner came out, we all used that. Well, the second phone line plus AOL is the same cost as Roadrunner for faster.
Right,
so
right,
so
right.
That justified that. But I wonder how many of these AOL subscribers are just on autopay and never bothered turning it off.
I've told this story before. I was on autopay for AOL, and I wanted to get off it because I got Roadrunner as well.
Mm-hmm.
I could not. No matter who I called, what I did, I sent a registered letter. I had my lawyer call them up. They would not cancel my service. I finally closed the account they were drawing from.
Yep.
Then they threatened to take me to court. And I said, yes, please, let's go. And I told the guy who called me up, who was a lawyer, I told him the whole story. I sent him documentation.
Yep.
He called me back. He said, we're very sorry, and we'll never do this again. I said, that's right, you will not. You won't do it to me, but I'll bet you do it to everybody else on the planet.
And then when AOL and Time Warner merged for a while in 2000, that was only 25 years ago.
Yep.
Everyone with Roadrunner got free AOL.
Right.
And so a lot of people forgot to stop the bill pay then, at the time. I was a forum leader on AOL and did help sessions every week. And there was a big class action lawsuit for wage theft.
Oh, right, because you were...
Right, I worked an hour a week and they paid me with a free account.
Right.
Well, that was less than minimum wage. So we all got a check for like $100 or something like that.
Oh, nice. I still have a CD that gives me 750 free hours.
Yeah. Although the real side of this is there are rural areas where high-speed internet is not available.
Well, that is the real problem.
Dial-up may not be available either. I posted a link to some of the companies that still support dial-up. NetZero.
NetZero does.
And if you can dial a local phone number to get to the internet. But dial-up is limited to 56K.
Right.
And we're all used to 500,000K.
Right. Right. And that's the problem. The internet is basically designed for super fast internet access. So many sites are giant pictures,
mm-hmm.
Lots of JavaScript in the background, huge files, video, audio.
Used to be you wanted to download a 1 meg file, took an hour. And then you got faster internet, we wanted to download a 100 meg file, takes an hour. Now, if I download a gig file, it only takes 10 minutes.
Well, right.
It's that 12 gig OS downloads that take forever.
Right. I still tend to write, I try to write, fairly simple websites. Most of the stuff mm-hmm. is simple. Because we've had, over the years, we've had many people who were still on dial-up.
Yep.
And I felt that, particularly for soundbites, you know, getting the information was more important to them than seeing pretty pictures, and particularly of us, and all of that. So,
yeah. And even that, on the other side of that is a clean text website is easier for the person to read, and it might stay on it longer.
Well, the and more for the visually impaired,
yeah.
You know, one of the things that every person who creates websites should do, two things. One is use a screen reader and close your eyes and listen to your website. And the other is to use a text-only web browser like Lynx,
mm-hmm.
L-Y-N-X, to view the website and see what you actually get.
There are WordPress plugins, since WordPress is one of the more popular web platforms, to auto add alt text tags to images.
Right.
But you still go through and look at them.
Right.
Just in case.
Right. It's a real accessibility
mm-hmm.
issue. People who are visually impaired or fully blind, people who are in rural areas on or just generally on dial-up, much of the internet is inaccessible to them.
And it's a legal requirement that it should be.
Right.
And why would you as a company want to eliminate potential customers?
Exactly right. Exactly right. So yeah, it seems to me that we have forgotten that there are a number of people who use the internet who are not 20-year-olds or 14-year-olds on TikTok. You know, we as a nation, as a world, we tend to chase the young demographic. But we forget that, you know, there are people who just don't have access to that stuff. All right, we should get to the phones. Our first caller is Ann from Greece, New York. What's up, Ann? Ann? Hold on, Ann. Are you there?
Should it be Elmer from Greece, New York?
Elmer, I beg your pardon. I beg your pardon, Elmer. I can't read my handwriting here.
Actually, Ann is my wife's name.
Well, there you are. Can we talk to Ann? Because we don't really like you. And I'm sorry, go ahead, Elmer.
Okay, I have a question about staying on Windows 10 for a while longer until Windows 11 gets a little bit more stable.
Yeah.
I read from one of the online documents, I think from CNET actually, that there's supposed to be a click here wizard to sign up for one of the options to officially stay on Windows 10 on the Windows Update page. Unfortunately, I'm sitting on the Windows Update page right now, and I don't see anything that would remotely look like that.
It hasn't rolled out to everyone yet.
It hasn't rolled out to everyone, and it's not on the Windows Update page on Microsoft's website. It's on the...
Go ahead. I'm on the Windows Updates page on my computer.
Yeah. That's where it will appear, but it hasn't appeared for everybody yet.
They said mid-August.
Mid-August, which
was yesterday, so obviously it won't be out yet.
Plus, I did install the update that came through this week on Patch Tuesday, so my Windows update says I fall up to date as of 11:57 a.m. this morning.
Nicely done. You will have the option to renew for another year, and you can do that by paying $30 or by using your Microsoft points. How do you get Microsoft points, you may wonder? The easiest way to do it is to use Bing to do searches.
I do have a Microsoft account, which I used to purchase Office 2019 a while back.
Yeah,
perfect.
Probably not going to be enough points.
And if you've ever had Xbox or any Microsoft gaming platform, that also adds points.
Yeah, you might already have enough points, but just to be safe, if you sign into Bing with your Microsoft account and you do searches, you will collect points. Now, they don't care what the search is. So you can search for pictures of Bugs Bunny. I don't care. It's not, you know, they don't care what the search is. And it does not take long to accumulate 5,000 points.
1,000 you need.
1,000?
1,000.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, one thing I was wondering, though, is I don't have Windows 10 Home. I have Windows 10 Pro, version 22H2. Does that disqualify me?
It shouldn't.
Okay.
I don't think they care which version of Windows 10 you have. They certainly haven't announced it that way. They've just basically said Windows 10.
Yeah, I used to do computers professionally, so I'm very up to date about wanting to keep the operating system updated and all that. But
good for you.
To me, Windows 11 doesn't quite seem like it's ready for the big time yet.
It's getting closer.
Yeah, it is. Much to their credit, they are swatting bugs, but I'm just not sure that they're doing it quickly enough.
Well, that's been true throughout the history of Microsoft. So,
And this is what gets really annoying and aggravating, is Microsoft is still going to be fixing these bugs and releasing patches for people that have already paid.
Right.
And almost every bug in Windows 10 is the same in Windows 11.
Right.
So they are making you pay to fix their problems, which is frustrating.
Yep.
Yeah,
I'm up to 1,800 points. I installed the Bing app on my phone and just let it run, and I get notifications about breaking news.
Right.
And it's accumulating points, so I'm up to 1,800 points now.
There you go.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot, guys. Really appreciate what you're doing here.
All right, thank you. Get on Bing and start searching.
Okay.
And I popped the link to the Windows article to the top of our link list. It's the Extended Security Updates, the ESU program.
Right. All right, thanks, Elmer.
And Windows 10, 22H2, home, professional, pro, education, or workstation.
Yeah, they don't care.
So pretty much any Windows 10 is eligible.
Yep. There are still, we've been talking about this for weeks, there are still millions and millions and hundreds of millions of people still on Windows 10.
I think it's like 50% of the Windows base.
Who do not want to move.
Half a billion people.
Yeah. And
don't want or can't. My Windows 10 laptop can't go to 11.
Right. In many cases, can't.
Unless you're on Rufus and tell it to strip the TPM requirement.
Hush.
And then it works just fine. See, so Microsoft touts that Windows 11 is faster and more efficient, so it should run better on our older hardware.
Yeah, what you would think.
Until they artificially added the TPM requirement.
Right. I get it. I get the idea behind TPM. I also get the understanding. I do understand that they don't want to any longer support Windows 10. It costs them a lot of money to support an old operating system. I do get that. I do. But when you put barriers up for people moving to the new operating system, you kind of have to expect them to stick with the old operating system. I was telling these guys before the show started, I bought a new laptop. It's running Windows 11. Pretty much the only thing I do with it right now is open it up, update it, close it down again. It seems to update like every time I open it up. And then 2 hours later, I just close it down and put it away. But eventually I will put Linux on it. It was another one of those mystery laptops. It's a nice little laptop. i5. Nice, very nice little laptop.
According to StatCounter, Windows 11 has a 53% market share. Of Windows in general. Windows 10 is 43%. Windows 7 is 2%.
But those people are just lost.
Windows 8 is 0.8%.
Those people should be shot.
Windows XP is 0.4%.
Those are my people.
And Windows 8.1 are 0.2%.
Those are just...
So the Win 8 people haven't even bothered upgrading to 8.1.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Well, now, I'm going to guess that most of those XP machines are ATMs.
Well, yes.
Yeah. You ever seen your ATM with a blue screen of death?
Yes, I have. Yes. And I do understand. I fully understand. I'm happy with what I have, and I don't want to move. I fully understand that. But the reality is the world moves on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you may be perfectly happy with your horse and carriage, but...
And it still runs on today's roads.
And it still runs on today's roads, but it's not going to get you there as fast. And there are places you may not be able to go. And that's very true with Windows. You know, we talk about the difference between dial-up and broadband. The same thing is true of Windows. There are things you can't do with older versions of Windows. Most of it's under the hood right now. Most of it is running in the background and Microsoft, that's a lot of what the updates do. But there are things you can't do and Microsoft doesn't want to support ancient hardware anymore, ancient operating systems anymore. They would rather put the money and the time and the effort into keeping the new thing running than the old thing. That's just a way it works these days. But right now you can have a 1 year only extension of Windows 10. In a year, who knows what we're going to see? We may have just kidding. Here's another year.
Yeah.
But, the fact is that what Microsoft assumed was Windows 11 was going to come out. Everybody was going to take a collective gasp and rush to it.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened is about 90% of the people took a collective donkey laugh and didn't move. So it's more a glacial movement than a than a super fast movement, and they, and there's nothing wrong with that. People like Elmer, he's cautious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's waiting to make sure Windows 11 really works. And then there are a lot of programs that don't work well. You've talked about that with the Mac.
Mm-hmm.
Mark, how long ago did Microsoft say we're moving to Windows 11? Things are going to change. If you're a developer,
yeah,
here's what you have to know.
Yep.
And when Windows 11 came out, a whole bunch of developers went, what?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, Apple gave 10
years. We're not ready.
They gave 10 years notice. They're shifting to the 64-bit.
And so you know, there are legitimate reasons to keep Windows 10. You may have a program that does not run under Windows 11. Now, it is not a legitimate thing if you have a program that only runs under Windows 10 because you're not willing to upgrade to the new version. That's on you, not on Microsoft. But or the company that wrote the program.
Yeah, and we don't like change, so that's the biggest reason
the
people
big
don't upgrade. We don't like change. Although there is precedent, in July of 2024, Microsoft released an emergency XP update. Remember that?
Yes, I do.
For an SMB bug that has existed since probably Windows 3, but they didn't patch that.
Yeah, right.
So if the vulnerability is egregious enough, they have been known to go back.
I still have the original, in the original box unopened, Windows 1.0.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if there's a bug in there that will be fixed if I ever install it on something. All right, listen, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Steve Ray, Michael Oden, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 30 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That would be Soundbites, right here on the truly great and truly grateful to you that we are member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Soundbites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Michael Oden.
And at 36 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. And you can give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. In the meantime, I'll read a little more Microsoft news. Many are unhappy about Microsoft's Windows 10 retirement plans. See Elmer in segment one. But a California man appears to be angrier than most. He sued Redmond over the matter and is demanding continued free Windows 10 updates until the OS's popularity wanes. Complainant Lawrence Klein is identified in the filing only as a California resident who owns two Windows 10 laptops that can't be updated to Windows 11 due to their lack of a trusted platform module 2.0. Of course, Windows 10 users can still get security-only updates for $30 for 1 year, or by spending Microsoft points, but Klein wants the court to force Microsoft to offer free Windows 10 until the number of devices running the OS falls below 10% of total Windows users, which likely would take 7, maybe 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
Alternatively, his lawyer said, the court could also force Microsoft to loosen those unnecessary hardware restrictions. And we just talked about that. TPM 2.0 is not really a requirement. It's a nicety.
Yeah.
This month's patch Tuesday includes security updates for 107 flaws, including one publicly disclosed zero-day vulnerability in Windows Kerberos. This patch Tuesday also fixes 13 critical vulnerabilities, 9 of which are remote code execution vulnerabilities, 3 are information disclosure, and 1 is elevation of privileges. There are also updates to all of the Office components, so be prepared for a fairly lengthy update. Microsoft will remove PowerShell 2.0 from Windows 11 versions 24H2. Man, there are at least half a dozen people I know listening who I hope were sitting down when they heard that. Starting in August this month, 8 years after announcing its deprecation, it's only been 8 years since they said they were getting rid of it, so now it's going.
Too much notice.
Right, and keeping it around as an optional feature. It was first introduced 14 years ago in Windows 7. For most users and organizations, this change will be uneventful. Newer versions of PowerShell, such as PowerShell 5.1 and PowerShell 7.x, continue to be available and supported. However, if you have legacy scripts or software that explicitly depends on PowerShell 2.0, you will need to take action and update them or use a workaround to prevent any disruptions or install Linux. Microsoft has asked customers this week to disregard incorrect certificate services client or cert enroll errors that appeared after installing the July 2025 preview update and subsequent Windows 11 24 H2 updates. In recent months, Windows has addressed multiple similar issues affecting various Windows features that triggered erroneous warnings with no actual impact. This has been going on since at least April. We've been going on since 1989, so give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299, toll-free 800-790-0415. Yeah, I love the idea of the lawsuit.
Yeah, and I found some additional Microsoft news.
Yes, you did.
Reported by Steve Gibson on Security Now that Microsoft is taking steps so that Windows will never crash again.
Wonderful.
They're going to rename it Unexpected Restart Experience.
Yes.
So now we are experiencing an unexpected restart. It didn't crash.
Mm-hmm. URIs.
Yeah. It's like the RUDs.
It's like a URI, but for your computer.
Or the RUD, the Rapid Unexpected Disassembly.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
So, and they've also, this is part of their revising the blue screen of death to be a black screen of death. And making the font bigger and taking out all that hex code that no one understood anyway.
Right.
And if it reboots too many times in a row, they're going to figure out how to go back to auto-roll back whatever the last update was. And this appears to be in response to last year's CrowdStrike event, which took off hundreds of millions of computers from the internet when a bad update pushed by CrowdStrike everybody offline until that someone could physically go to the computer and remove that patch.
Yep. Yep. It was really a huge black eye for Microsoft.
Yep. Took down airports, grounded most airplanes.
Yep. And so now I guess they're trying to figure out ways to mitigate that.
Yeah. So this is coming later this summer in a 24H2 update. So now your computer will never crash again.
Right.
It's just going to unexpectedly
restart.
They're
just going to change the name. Yeah, exactly. And people will still call it crashing, and there's nothing Microsoft can do about that.
Although I read so many stories about, we sometimes call it freezing. And so people put it in the oven to thaw it out.
Yeah.
Every time I read one of these crazy stories, that can't be true. Until I have a crazy story happen to me.
Yes.
I believe every story I've read.
Yes.
This reminds me of that Simpsons episode where Homer heard a plant meltdown and Mr. Burns went on TV and said, no, it's not a meltdown. It's an unexpected fusion surplus.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly right. You can, as long as you can couch it in terms that are polite and good for you, then you win. That's how that works. I love the idea of this guy suing Microsoft to keep Windows 10. It's the only thing that might even possibly work. I think all he really wants is just money.
So
give me money and I'll go away.
Yeah. I wonder what his legal grounds are going to be, though.
That's a very good question, and the reality is that it doesn't matter how stupid a lawsuit is, somebody in America, some lawyer will take that case.
Expecting a multi-$100 million payout, and they get 10%.
Right.
Or 50%.
Probably 50%.
I got my $50 from the T-Mobile lawsuit.
Congratulations! Well done, you! So you're buying a new car or we're just, what?
About lunch.
You bought lunch. Right. Just for yourself.
And now there's $3 left on the virtual MasterCard that I can't spend anywhere because it's only $3. All right. Another caller coming in.
We've got Robin. Where are you calling from, Robin?
I'm calling from Berkeley, California. Can you hear me?
Berkeley! Nice. Holy cow, Berkeley.
Yeah.
Only two things ever came out of Berkeley. LSD and Unix. I'm not sure those are coincidence.
And I'm running BSD Unix on my computer right now.
Yes, you are.
Berkeley Systems Division.
Go ahead, Robin. What's up?
Well, I just a quick comment on the thing about Windows 10. My computer has the security, whatever it's called. You mentioned it a moment ago.
Yeah, the TPU. The ESU.
The extended security update.
The problem with it is the chip isn't fast enough.
Oh, you've got TPU 1.0.
Well, it's not that. It's the processor. Processor isn't fast enough. So anyway, that's the issue with my computer, so I hope this guy has some success with his lawsuit. But that's not why I called.
Ah.
The reason I called is because I'm upgrading an old, decrepit setup that I have at my home, which involves a slow modem. I got a faster modem, but the problem is the router. I have an old Linksys Cisco 100 megabits per second speed router, which has served fine for years, still works. I can't watch high speed videos, but you know, for ordinary stuff, it's fine.
Sure.
I need something that runs faster now, and I went online yesterday and just ran into the hardest thing trying to find a wired, not Wi-Fi, wired 1-in-4-out router. They just don't exist. They hardly exist.
Yeah.
You go to anywhere, even if you search for that, you wind up going to TP something, and it's a router with antennas, five or six antennas coming out of it,
yeah.
And it's a Wi-Fi router. It's not a wired router.
Well, it's right. Also a wired router.
Right.
There's a wire going into it, but there's no ports going out of it.
Very few these days have more than one wire out, and the reason for that is they expect you to buy switch with 4 or 8 or 16 ports on it, and so you take the one wire out of the router into the switch, and then you can plug everything into the switch.
Doesn't that just allow everybody plugged into that to talk to each other?
It can. It depends. Managed switches don't. But generally, everybody on a network can talk to each other anyway.
Right.
That's the point.
Do you want to create separate networks on each wire?
What I want is, I want to have something. I'm in the upstairs of a two-story house, okay? And downstairs, there are coming and going students from Germany and places like that, and they're used to a much more robust Wi-Fi than we have. And what's happening is they're all going online at once and crashing the router. I have to power cycle it, you know. So I figure what's happening is they're using a Wi-Fi router downstairs that's wired into the wired old ancient
right.
router upstairs. Okay, that router downstairs is a much better router. It goes to 400 or something,
right?
Megabits a second. It's better. It's good enough, probably. So what I wound up with was something from Latvia. Starts with M. I can't remember the whole name of it.
Microtech.
It's 1-inch. Yeah. Are those any good?
Yeah, they're pretty good. They're usually highly rated. The TP-Link is the other highly rated one. I'm on PC Guide's Best Wired Routers, and they have a TP-Link and a Microtech.
So when you look at the description and the manual that they have online for this thing, oh my God, you got to be a NASA engineer to understand it.
Yeah.
I want a plug and play situation. I want to plug the thing in. Plug all the wires into this new router and plug it, you know, have it plugged in, wire it up, and have everything work. But no, I found something called the Winbox. It's a GUI thing that they have that you download, and then you can get into it like you can get into the old Cisco Linksys router.
Right.
And you can set things and so on and so on. So I have that. I don't have the router yet, so I don't know how well is this going to work.
Yeah, that's usually a managed router where you can manage what happens on each port, but it does mean that you have to manage it.
Well, and also, the good news there is that with a router that you can manage, you can likely set up multiple different systems in the router. I'm trying to make this simple. So that you could be on one leg of the internet.
Right.
Of the network, and the students could all be on a different leg, and they don't see any of your stuff, and you don't see any of their stuff. You're all still going through the same router.
Right.
But,
so what's happening is they're taking one feed out of this
four-out router that I have.
Yeah.
I'm taking two of them, and someone else unconnected with this is taking another feed out of it. Okay? I don't want any of them seeing what's on each other's computers.
That is the point of a router.
Yeah. The people that are downstairs plugged into the Wi-Fi router, they're on their own. I don't care.
You can basically set up multiple networks on your network.
Yeah.
You can set up a guest network. Of them let you
set
up.
That's only for wireless, though, not for wired.
Some of them let you set up multiple wired.
If you have VLANs. That's something like the EdgeRouter X.
Right.
Which is a popular way to split your network.
I don't know that the one you have will do that. But
yeah. You need a specific a router that does network management to separate the traffic from each Ethernet port.
Is that hard to do for a newbie like me?
Yes and no.
I think it is.
Yeah.
It isn't tremendously easy, but it isn't tremendously difficult either.
Because I tried to find YouTube videos about this. The only ones I found were ones that were put out by the company, which has this guy that talks like this. He's doing comedy routines about these routers, and he's just funny, but that's not really helpful. You know?
Right.
I need hand-holding, somebody walk me through this. And the simplest thing, like I say, I would like it to be plug-and-play. And I seem to remember that you could, on your own computer, you could set it up so that you would set it one way if you were on a public network and another way if you were didn't want people poking around in your files and stuff. And my computer is fine with that. Mine's already set up like that. This thing's coming tomorrow. I ordered it yesterday. It's coming tomorrow. And I got to wire it up like it's about as soon as it gets here. And I'm getting the new modem in today. That shouldn't be any trouble, I don't think. You have to call Comcast, though, I think, to have them tell you something to make it work. Is that right?
There may be a password or something. I'm not on Comcast, so I can't tell you how they set it up. I mean, generally speaking, you just plug them in and they go.
Okay, well, I'll try that first. If it doesn't work, then I'm calling Comcast.
Oh, you may have to call them and tell them, I got my router. Here's the number off the bottom. Activate it.
You mean modem?
I mean modem. Yeah.
Although it's a router.
Oh, the number off the bottom. Oh, so they have to activate it.
It is possible. Well, it is likely. Yes.
They may have pre-activated it, but they have to know you set it up, so they turn off the old one and turn on the new one.
Gotcha. So then, if something went wrong with the new one and I tried to plug in the old one, I'd have to do that process again, right?
Yeah.
You'd have to call them. Yeah.
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 And it looks like the EdgeRouter has been discontinued, and I'm trying to find the replacement. I'll post a link as soon as I find it. But Steve Gibson on Security Now has a couple of big episodes on how to set up these edge routers, so that one link is the downstairs, and one link is the neighbors, and one link is you, and they can't talk to each other between them.
Anything you got like that, you can post it on the website.
Yeah, but it won't be plug and play, because the point of plug and play is you plug it in and everyone sees everything.
So you'll have to be doing a little bit of work. You have
to go in and manage the router and tell it what to do on each of the ports.
And the good news is most of these routers are designed to be used by very busy people. So they are designed to be fairly easy to use.
This sort of reminds me of the old days of setting up a modem, like for a phone line, and you had to go through dip switches and all
right,
that.
Right,
yeah,
right, right.
Yeah. There's one other thing I want to ask you before I go, and it just slipped my mind. Damn. Forget. Okay. Anyway, I'll look at what you post on your website and hope for the best, I guess. I just hope I can get this to work, because what's happening now, like I say, is the upstairs router is crashing all the time. I can't leave the house because I got to keep reloading it, because these people downstairs need to be using it, and I have to keep restarting it.
Right. Hopefully the new router will be fast enough to keep everything running.
Yeah, I think so. All right. Thanks for your help.
Yeah, let us know.
All right, enjoy your show.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, we... that's the other part of this. You know, we don't really think about it, but our networks need to be secure, and they need to be ready to run. If you've got a guest, you want them on the guest network. You don't want them on your network. And I understand that takes a little bit of finagling. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Tom from Brighton, New York. What's up, Tom?
Hi. Good afternoon. I've got an older PC. It's a desktop. It's well over 12 years old now, I think. And I've had some problems recently with Windows 10. I keep getting these notifications coming up for Adobe, Acrobat.
Creative Cloud? That's their other big product.
No, the other one. Anyway, they're just, I believe it's coming from some nefarious site, and it keeps putting up these notifications to upgrade to some other Adobe product. And the only way to get rid of it was to turn off all notifications.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Are they coming from Windows, or are they coming from your browser? Where are you seeing the notification?
In the browser, I believe it's coming through. I use Chrome.
So yeah.
Yeah, they're fake.
You go into Chrome's notification settings, and you can remove the website that is sending you those notifications without turning off the other ones.
I tried that. I tried looking for, I couldn't find any specific site that was giving the notifications. The only way to eliminate it was to cut off all notifications. That worked. I'm wondering I think there's some kind of a, something, I must have accidentally downloaded some spyware or something that produced this.
Check if you have any extensions you don't know as well. It probably safest to run the whole security tango. But the problem is notifications are a legitimate thing. And so finding the bad notification program versus the right one. Sometimes you just got to go through the list of websites that are allowed notification and turn them all off and then turn them on one by one until you find it.
Right.
Where is there a list of those notifications? I didn't see a specific list of those.
What browser are you running?
Chrome.
Chrome settings, privacy and security, site settings, notifications. So if you just go to Chrome settings and search for notifications, you'll find it.
Okay. All right. I thought I did look into that, but I'll look again. Maybe that's it. All right. Thanks, guys. You guys have a very useful program. Appreciate the help.
They're often sneaky. We get this a lot in the Mac world, too. You go to a website, like you go to a news site, and it pops up and says, you want to get notified of headlines? Oh, yeah, sure. That could be a fake ad saying fake notifications, and then suddenly you're getting all those notifications, you should buy this, you're infected with a virus, and they trick you into allowing those notifications to come through.
I don't allow any notifications ever.
Yeah. All right, well, I'll try it out and let you know how it works out.
All right, you got a little bit of detective work to do, Tom.
Thank you.
Yep, bye-bye. Yeah, the problem is they get so tricky. Right.
And they usurp good things.
Right. We see notifications constantly. I mean, I can't tell you when the last time it was I went to a website that I was new to that I didn't see a notice to say, do you want us to send you notifications? No! If I did, I would have done that already. No. Take a hike. So you don't, we see the problem is we see them so often, we become kind of immune to them. And if we're the sort of people who like notifications of news, then we are used to clicking OK. And so when a bogus one comes up, we click OK and move on. We don't even remember we did it. And that's where that comes from. But yeah, you can turn off all notifications, or you can go through and see what notifications you are. But in your case, Tom, the first thing that I would do is to run the security tango because it may be a malicious program that got downloaded and is now serving these notices to get you to buy something that you don't need or want. Um, You could also try a different browser, like Vivaldi or Brave or DuckDuckGo, which tend to be better at blocking those sorts of things than Chrome is, because Chrome, let's be honest, makes it, you know, Google makes their money off of some of that stuff. So not the malicious ones, but the legitimate ones. All right. That music tells us we are done with the first hour of this show, but don't despair. There's a whole nother hour coming your way, a whole nother hour of Steve Ray, a whole nother hour of Michael Oden, a whole nother hour of me, Nick Francesco, and a whole nother hour of you, but only if you give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. We'll be back with a whole nother hour of the longest running computer show in the known universe coming your way right here on the truly great and truly grateful to you, because you know, particularly with the nonsense that's going on these days, we mean it when we say we are solely member supported Jazz 90.1, and we are so grateful to you for all of that support. Take a quick break, but we'll be back on the other side with a whole nother hour.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District. Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Michael Oden.
And at 9 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and you are hurtling headlong into the second hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. Holy cow. Strap in, people. Here we go. In the wake of its big antitrust loss, Google could soon find itself forced to sell one of its crown jewels. Among the government's proposed remedies in the search case is a requirement that Google divest its market-leading Chrome browser, and Perplexity is already throwing its proverbial hat into the ring with a whopping $34.5 billion with a B dollar offer. The problem, however, is that Perplexity doesn't have nearly that much cash. But there is so much capital floating around in the artificial intelligence sphere currently, even a cash-poor firm like Perplexity can secure enough investments to splurge on Chrome. Reuters reports that the all-cash offer is funded by various venture funds, but Perplexity has not offered specifics. On Thursday, Google announced Flight Deals, a new AI-powered feature within Google Flights that allows you to describe travel ideas conversationally and then shows you relevant flight options from multiple airplanes and airlines and booking sites. The Skyscanner-like search feature will be rolled out in beta over the next week across the U.S., Canada, and India, with no opt-in required. That's unbelievable. It can be accessed via the menu at the top left corner of the Google Flights homepage. Apple filed a lawsuit against Apple Cinemas last Friday. Apple's attorneys accused Apple Cinemas of knowingly and intentionally using the name Apple to sow confusion for its own benefit. Get it? Apple, sow, get it?
Yeah.
Apple Cinemas has operated since 2013, and the company claims that its names came from its first planned location at Apple Valley Mall in Rhode Island, but a movie theater never opened in that mall. Apple Cinemas operates 14 total locations, according to its website. One of those is right here in Pittsford, New York. Apple believes that Apple Cinemas is pursuing a nationwide expansion in the U.S., including close to Apple's headquarters and retail stores. In the lawsuit, Apple said that its repeated efforts to resolve the matter amicably were unsuccessful. Apple also cited comments from people who were under the impression that Apple Cinemas is owned by Apple. Who? Okay, fine.
You'll find someone.
You'll find somebody who's willing to say that for money. Apple has provided, has produced movies and TV shows distributed through its Apple TV Plus service since 2019. Those of us who remember the Beatles' Apple Corps and Apple Records versus Apple Computers lawsuit of 1978 are just sitting back and shaking our heads.
So sue me.
Exactly. In early 2024, Apple removed the blood oxygen monitoring feature from its then-current Apple Watch Series 9 and Ultra 2 watches, following a ruling that the feature violated light-based pulse oximetry. Oximetry? Sure. Patents from a California-based company called Masimo. On Thursday, or Masimo, I don't care. On Thursday, Apple announced that it's restoring a version of the blood oxygen monitoring feature to affected Series 9, Series 10, and Ultra 2 watches. Apple says these updates were enabled by a recent U.S. Customs ruling. The feature has been redesigned, presumably to get around the Masimo patent that prompted the import ban in the first place. There's no ban on us so far, so give us a call. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415.
Since Apple removed computer from their name, they're everything Apple.
Well, exactly. Yeah. They're no longer Apple Computer Inc. They're just Apple Inc.
Yeah. Well, and that, there's the history you were mentioned where Apple Records sued Apple Computer for using the name Apple, and the logos were similar. Apple Records was a green Granny Smith Apple 3D realistic image, and Apple Computer was a flat 2D with a bite tail. Oh, okay, sure. In six colors.
But they were both apples.
They were both apples, yeah. And so at the time, Apple Computer says, okay, we won't do anything in music. And Apple Records said, okay, we won't do anything in computers. Then like 10 years later...
Apple Computers kept their promise.
No. Apple Records kept their promise.
I mean, Apple Records kept their promise.
Not making... Right. Apple Computer came out with the Apple II GS, and that was graphics and sound.
Right.
That had an Ensoniq sound synthesizer. Then they came out with a music store and started selling music. And so Apple Records sued them again, saying, well, you violated the terms from back there. But this time Apple Computer was so big.
Yeah.
They won the lawsuit, ended up buying Apple Records pretty much, and licensing the music back to them.
right, to themselves.
Yeah.
Right.
So as well as, so, Apple, I'm trying to see Apple Cinemas is using sort of an Apple logo, but it's artistic and it's got peels on it. But yeah, but you'll find someone who thought it was Apple Computer. What I don't like about them, they took over Pittsford Plaza Cinema, which we used to go to a lot because it was a cheaper second run theater.
Yep.
They added restaurant and bar and fancy seats and all that, which is really nice. But now it's like triple the price.
Yeah, right.
Movies and food.
Right, is this Josh? Josh, our next caller is Josh from Santa Cruz, California. We got the California people calling today. What's up, Josh?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Peachy. You? Yep.
Good, yeah. I'm the same Josh who was in Fairport. So just calling in. I had a couple questions today.
Now, have you moved to Santa Cruz?
Yeah, I have.
Congratulations, or I'm sorry. I don't know which that is.
Thank you, and it's okay.
All right, what's up?
So, my wife, she's doing some work remotely, and she's using our desktop. And sometimes the power goes out because we're up in the mountains here.
Yeah,
I'm trying to think. I have this like big DeWalt power bank to keep the Wi-Fi router running when the power goes out.
Yep,
but I'm looking to get something that will help make sure the desktop can stay in power when she needs to do work if the power's out.
Sure. How long is the power typically out for?
Last year it was out for 3 days, almost four.
Ah.
So. Okay, nobody's going to help you with that.
Well, okay. Yeah. So for the short term, is your DeWalt an actual uninterrupted power supply, or is it a generator that kicks in?
No, it's one of those things that you can use to jumpstart a car, but it has two 120-volt plugs in it.
So yeah, there's a class of device you want to look for called an uninterruptible power supply. Uninterruptible power supply.
or UPS.
UPS. And one of the biggest companies is APC. American Power Conversions, and I'll post some links. And what they do is that they have two styles. It's basically a giant lead acid battery.
Yeah.
with plug an outlet strip on it, and you plug your computer into that, and when the main power fails, it will switch to battery power instantly, so your computer never knows it. The better models, which cost a little bit more, always run your computer off a battery, so there's no switching.
So they're basically like a laptop.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then that will keep the computer from crashing. And we actually have them in our office. We have them on the server, and we have them on our routers. And the one we don't have is the cash register, I think. So our server keeps running, but we can't check anything out.
Right.
But we can do it on the iPads with
Wi-Fi. And that leads to something else. So the UPS has a limited life, right? You know, for example, I own one from a company called Triplite. TRIPPLITE.
They're generally only rated for 5 or 10 minutes.
Well, mine lasts. Oh, okay. Mine's 3 hours.
Yeah. Well, so the more you pay, so there's a $60 one that might last for 10 minutes to let you shut down the computer normally,
It doesn't crash.
So it doesn't crash unexpectedly restart. And many of them have a USB cable so that if you're not at home or not in the room, it will shut down by itself normally.
Okay.
And then you can pay more to get a bigger one that has longer battery life. Mm-hmm. And then the next stop would be a generator, which would then kick on to supply power for the days if you're out.
But the other thing is you have to be strategic. As Steve said, he's got his router on there, but not their cash register. Okay.
Right.
So in my house, I have my main computer, the monitor for the main computer, and the router. Okay. All the other computers and all the other stuff that I've got, my printer, et cetera, are not on the UPS. Well, the UPS actually has two sets of plugs. Only four of them actually provide battery backup power.
Okay.
Right. So only those three things, the main computer, the monitor, and the router are plugged into the battery backup part.
Because you generally don't need your printer to stay on.
I don't need my printer. I don't need my Raspberry Pi. You know, none of that stuff. It can all go off. I don't care. So you need to be strategic. And in my case, with only those three devices on the battery backup side, I get 3 hours of power.
Okay. Nice.
And I've got that cable that Steve mentioned. It's hooked up to the network UPS tool or NUT monitor, which monitors the UPS. And when it reaches 10% of power left, the NUT monitor shuts everything down safely.
Okay.
So, you know, if the power goes out for 3 days, grab a blanket and have fun. But in terms of the computer, certainly you can get devices that will keep one system alive for about 3 hours.
Okay. Especially
if the power flickers a lot.
Right.
If you're in a remote area, then having a UPS that can help that. There are
Now, just before you go on, remember we talked about there's two kinds. The one that runs continuously from the battery protects you from brownouts and oversurges.
A lot of times you'll hear your power supply click.
Yes.
Oh, so it didn't quite turn off, but it was about to.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Or the worse are the surges.
Right.
So the UPS that constantly runs from where the computer constantly runs from the battery is way better at absorbing overages and underages than the power supply in your computer.
And that's often called automatic voltage regulation.
Automatic voltage regulation.
AVR.
So you definitely want to look for something that does that. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so that's what I was going toward.
Okay.
So when you're your computer flickers. When I was a kid, it was always the CRT television would flicker during Saturday morning cartoons because Dad turned his razor on upstairs.
Yeah.
Or when the refrigerator compressor kicked on.
Well, and in older houses, that can be an issue.
Yeah. So if there's a lot of people don't realize that electricity is a range. It's 108 to 128 volts.
Right.
So if it starts dimming down, we used to joke everyone in Irondequoit turns the air conditioner on so everyone in Gates loses power.
Yep. it's less a joke than it should be.
Yeah. And so, you know, it might be drawing down. It's at 109, and then suddenly it jumps to 125.
Right.
That's a lot more common than an actual power loss.
Right.
And so the AVR, UPS, we need more TLAs.
Right. Three-letter acronyms.
Yeah, can absorb that better.
Right. I should say we recommend UPSs for dang near everybody.
Yeah. And you can get relatively cheap ones, you know, under $100. And so you might need a couple of them to scatter around your house.
Right. But in your case, I would go for the higher-end ones, in order to get that power regulation, that automatic regulation. Mm-hmm. And B, to get a large enough battery that you have several hours of time on that battery. You just need enough time to shut everything down safely. But you don't want to be rushed.
Right. Because you don't want to lose all that data that you're working on. That makes sense, yeah.
Right. So, you know, in my case, it's 3 hours. So if my lights go off, I'm not going to panic. I'm going to, I can shut this down, wait. I can shut this down and wait. I can shut this down and wait. I'm not in a hurry.
Yeah, and then I just got a new MacBook yesterday, so if she's experiencing that, I can also then, you know, change what I'm doing. And if she's urgently needing to continue work, I can say, shut all that down, take the laptop, hop on here.
Yep.
Well, right, and that's the other thing. A laptop essentially is its own UPS, right? And it does do the power regulation. Most of them nowadays, the electricity runs into the battery, and the battery runs the computer.
Right.
So it does its own power regulation. That doesn't mean you can't burn out the little transformer that you plug into the wall.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't harm the computer. I'd rather replace a $50 power brick than a $3,000 computer. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. But the idea is that with the proper UPS, your desktop works like a laptop, which is what you want in an area like where you're living, where you have iffy power.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, because there'll be a tree falling, or PG&E will just be like, oh, we're turning the power off.
So yeah, I've heard that about California. Rolling power outages are frequent and common.
Yeah. So, having the right UPS is going to save you a lot of headache.
Yeah, that sounds great. I appreciate you guys taking the time to give me that good information, and I will definitely be implementing that.
All right, Josh, thanks.
All right, you guys take care.
Keep smiling.
All right. Bye-bye.
Yeah, California. It's our second call from California today. I hope you California folks who are listening are telling everybody in your areas to listen to the show. We need more left coast people listening to the show.
It's only 65 in Santa Cruz at the moment.
Excellent. We're warmer than Santa Cruz, California.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they get the sea breeze.
Yep.
That we don't. We get the lake breeze, which is not a bad thing.
It is only 10 o'clock in California.
There's that. Generally speaking, we recommend that everybody look into buying a UPS. And again, you know, not everybody can afford the although my UPS was not that expensive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to get 3 hours of battery power was not that expensive. I had a UPS, a triplet UPS, that worked great for a while, and I thought, how long was this? I looked it up. 10 years. I had that for 10 years. And then it three times it shut down only the systems that were on the battery backed up side. That tells me, and you know, several people told me, oh, just replace the batteries. No, the problem is not the batteries. The problem is the electronics.
Yep.
I need to replace the device itself.
Yeah.
Because it didn't, it just, it died. Boom.
Yeah.
Done. So I bought the exact same model, set it up. I got another 10 years out of that. That should last me.
Yeah. And you may see UPS prices in the thousands of dollars. That's for network server rooms and large buildings that need to run hundreds of things.
Right. I have four or five battery backed up ones and four or five not battery backed up ones. But even the ones that aren't battery backed up are conditioned.
Yeah.
So that they're less likely to blow something out.
APC calls that their UPS sine wave.
Yes.
So you get a clean sine wave.
You get a clean sine wave.
So some people think a generator is enough, but it may take 30 seconds or a minute for a generator to turn on and switch over. Your computer only has milliseconds.
Right.
Before it will die.
Right. And that's why we recommend the ones that are constantly running off battery, like a laptop. That way, if the power goes out, the computer doesn't even notice it.
Yep.
Because it's always been running on battery. And so that really is the better, just like a laptop, that is the better way to do it. So I would, and again, be strategic. It shouldn't be just your computer. You need the monitor so that you can see what you're doing, and you need the router so that you can keep on doing what you're doing. There's a strategy to what you plug in where on a UPS. But look into the UPSs, get yourself one, and run it on your systems. And if you love your spouse, get them one too, for their computers. And that makes everybody happy. Hey, honey, I bought you a present.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's big and it's heavy. What is it? It's a battery.
Yeah. A lead acid battery.
A lead acid battery. Congratulations. But yeah, that's a UPS is really we're getting, particularly where it depends on where you live, right? We've got pretty good power here in Rochester, but we still have blackouts, we still have brownouts, we still have surges. That's just the nature of the grid, and so it doesn't matter where you are. A UPS is not a bad idea, and again, nobody wants to spend money in this economy, but something that runs off the battery constantly rather than switching to the battery is a much better deal. All right, we're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Steve Ray, Michael Oden, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 29 minutes after the hour. You are listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That would be Sound Bites right here. Are you doing that thumb-ups thing again so you get hearts and stuff? On member-supported Jazz 90.1. We will see you in just a couple of minutes.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Sound Bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Michael Oden.
And at 34 minutes after the hour, we've been having fun with reactions on the software that Steve uses for his putting things up on YouTube. So if you're watching along on YouTube, you've been seeing us do hearts and confetti and balloons and just all kinds of nonsense. And I think that's enough of that. We'll go back to the real world now. All right. Okay. Waze, W-A-Z-E, Waze, is going to soon cut off access to new app updates for older Android devices as a new update is raising the requirements. That's because Waze version 5.9.90 and higher now requires Android 10 or higher, as opposed to the Android 8 or higher required for the existing stable update. This means that eventually the app will stop working altogether on older phones, though it's hard to say how long that will take. Millions of people are now using smartwatches or other wearable devices every day to keep their stress levels in check. Almost all of them are wrong, researchers say, because there appears to be no correlation between how the body feels and digitally recorded data. However, smartwatches and wearable gadgets aren't entirely useless if the user is well aware of the device's limitations. While smartwatches are mostly useless as stress meters, they could work better for sleep measurements. The tested devices help measure sleep duration, even though they could tell very little about how rested a person would feel once they were out of bed. After spending last week hyping Grok's spicy new features, Elon Musk kicked off this week by threatening to sue Apple for supposedly gaming the App Store rankings to favor ChatGPT over Grok. In a nutshell, Musk feels that Grok, X's AI, should rank at least number one, if not higher. At the heart of Musk's complaint is an OpenAI partnership that Apple announced last year, integrating ChatGPT into versions of its iPhone, iPad, and Mac operating systems. Apple, shockingly, did not respond. Speaking of Musk, Starlink operator SpaceX is fighting Virginia's plan to deploy fiber internet service to residents, claiming that federal grant money should be given to Starlink instead. SpaceX is already in line to... I can't take off my shoe to do that because I'm wearing sandals. SpaceX is already in line to win over $3 million in grant money in the state, but is seeking $60 million. Basically, one of the richest men in the world is whining that he's not richer. A high-severity zero-day in the widely used WinRAR file compressor, these are a lot easier to write than they are to read, I got to be honest with you, is under active exploitation by two Russian cybercrime groups. The attacks backdoor computers that open malicious archives attached to phishing messages, some of which are personalized. WinRAR does not contain an auto-update feature, so users need to go manually download and install the latest version. More than $300 million worth of cryptocurrency linked to cybercrime and fraud schemes has been frozen due to two separate initiatives involving law enforcement and private companies. The two initiatives pair coordinated investigation sprints with structured global collaboration to detect and intervene at the blockchain level, significantly hindering cybercriminals from moving or spending scam proceeds. You should donate to this station. It's definitely not a scam. Then give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll-free 800-790-0415. It's huge these days that a lot of cyber crime is being done with cryptocurrency, because cryptocurrency is very, very difficult to follow the trail. It's meant to be anonymous, and it mostly is. So one of the red flags is if you get somebody who says, oh, you've got a problem, or we're Apple, or we're the IRS, you owe us money, send us crypto coins. Send us Bitcoin or cryptocurrency of some form.
Or somebody famous. There's a YouTube scam going around with Wozniak, Steve Wozniak, saying, send me a Bitcoin and I'll send you two back.
If you're going to send me Bitcoins, just send me Bitcoins.
Yeah.
Just send me one. They're $65,000. I'm happy.
0.01.
0.01 is fine.
Yeah.
I'll send you two. Send me one, I'll send you two. Send me one, I'll send you two plus.
Yeah.
I'll send you two plus. That plus really sucks you in.
Mm-hmm. It's like a buy one, get one free sale, right?
Right. But buy one.
But you're not buying any.
Get more than one.
Yeah.
All right.
And, yeah, there was just an article in CBS News about that. And he's been trying for years to get Google to get...
To YouTube, get rid of those.
To take it down, and they won't.
Right. Right. All right, to the phones. Our next caller is Andy from Greece, New York. Hi, Andy.
Hi, guys. Going all the way back to your lead story in the first hour.
Yeah? If anybody remembers that.
The AOL going away.
Yep.
Dial-up going away. I was thinking while you were talking, a lot of areas have, you know, they've been getting better at putting cell coverage out, and once you get cell coverage, you pick up data, possibly, right?
Well, the problem is cost.
And data caps. Most cell phone
data caps
are like a 5-gig cap, if you're lucky. And a 10 bucks a gig after that can add up. I think I looked at my router, because I use streaming television. I think I used like 500 gigs last week.
Yeah. My sister and brother-in-law live on a horse farm north of Phoenix, Arizona. And the only internet service they have is Verizon. Now, they are well enough off that they don't care. But the amount of money they spend on cell service every month is shocking. Because it's, you know, he runs a good piece of his business off the internet. And they stream movies and they get their television service through it and everything else. It ain't cheap. It ain't cheap at all. Because Verizon, and they have Verizon, I don't know if this is true of all of them, but Verizon has a different rate structure for their internet access system than for their cell phone system. It's not, you don't pay $45 a month and get unlimited data. There is no unlimited data when it's an internet cell service.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It would be nice if there were. I keep trying to tell them they need to get a third phone line and just get internet cell service.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is it's not going to be as fast in general. It may not be fast enough to do all the devices in their home. But, you know, the reality is that ain't nobody giving it away for free. Son.
That also reminds me of Elmer had called in.
Right.
You could get a second internet service for the people downstairs.
That's true.
Security gateway.
Right.
Is the keyword you want to look for to separate your network so that your network and their network are not connected together. So not just a router security gateway or security appliance.
Right. But yeah, if you take a look at what it costs to get Verizon
Not
internet.
Elmer, Robin, sorry.
Yeah, to get Verizon internet as opposed to cell service for your phone, you will be very surprised.
Okay, something Steve just said. If you got a second service for Elmer, if he got a second service for downstairs, he'd get a separate router.
Yeah, he gets a separate router and a separate system, and what that would do is make them two entirely, completely different systems, and he would not have to worry about that at all.
Yeah, they'd already be isolated, and you wouldn't have to worry about it.
Right.
And then you just add that to the rent or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. And because they're students, he could put in, he could set it up with a Wi-Fi, and they'd be much happier.
Yep, and they would be separate from everything else.
Yep.
Give them their own passwords, give them their own system, and they're done.
Yeah, and he could continue to run his on wired. I do know the Linksys routers do still offer the one in and four out as part of the...
Right.
Yeah, it's a wired router and a wireless router and an Ethernet switch.
All in one.
Also, some of the gaming routers, if you're looking at faster throughput, the gaming routers can be a lot faster too. They often have 6 or 8 antenna on them, but will typically also have multiple Ethernet ports as well, because you know true gamers do try to do Ethernet.
Right. Well, and the thing is, you may only have 500 megabits on your internet service, but the router can be gigabit.
Mm-hmm.
So from machine to machine on the same network, you get gigabit connectivity, Whereas going out to the internet, you only get half gigabit.
Yep.
Well, and mine has two stations with it, nodes, excuse me. And the second node number two has the same four ports and one in and four out.
Yep.
So the beauty of that has been when I put it up in the bedroom that I put it where I had a wire going to, the unit itself is on a wire, and I've been able to hook up a laptop computer directly Ethernet without having to go wireless, which is nice.
Right, right, right. And for people who have a desktop, many of them do not come with Wi-Fi, and so having enough wired connectivity is often very important. And the reality is that the more Wi-Fi devices you have, the slower your network is. Mm-hmm. Because you get enough of them, really the number's like 100, but still, they start interfering with each other.
And since he had an older router anyway, it's probably had a slower chip in it. When 100 was fast, and most of the time you'd get 10.
Right.
And if I had 100 wireless devices, I'd be paying for a divorce attorney, but that's another story.
Right, exactly. You'd be surprised at how many you have if you count them up now. You know, many people have a desktop, a laptop, a phone, a tablet, a watch.
Smart TVs.
Smart TVs. Maybe an extra Chromebook or Raspberry Pi sort of thing sitting around, or a game device.
I've got 12 active and 7 inactive on my home network right now.
Yeah. And that's per person, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, you could end up easily with 25, 30 devices.
I think we're just under 20, and that's everything in the whole house, my wife and myself.
Yep.
Except when the grandkids come over, and then we go up a couple. But, you know, it's still, I'm nowhere near 100. Also, you've been talking about the requirements for TPM and whatnot. Recently bought a motherboard, and I know you're not going to believe this, but you're sitting down, but I actually read through the manual.
Holy mother of pearl.
That was the only way I could figure out how to hook it all together. Had to look at all the little pictures and diagrams with a magnifying glass because they make them so bloody small these days. But there's a place to put the wiring for the TPM module, which is sold separately.
Yeah, of course it is.
So I'm looking at it going, oh, good, Microsoft requires this. You've got to go buy it separately.
Right.
Wonderful.
It's a good thing you looked before you put it together.
Well, I didn't worry about it because it's a Linux box, so.
Right. All right.
Not worried about that. But I will let you go to the next caller.
All right. I think we've got somebody on the line, yeah.
We'll be chatting tomorrow night.
That's the plan. I've got the entire, my wife's entire clan is coming over, but the theory is they're gone by about 7, so 9 o'clock should be fine.
Okay.
That's my plan.
Yeah.
we'll play Ah, yes.
Yeah. So, and you know, depending on who, are they listening?
Yeah.
Depending on who's left, I can always just say, oh, I have to go upstairs now. yeah. But no, I do love everybody in my wife's family. They're good people. I lucked out. I truly lucked out. I liked my in-laws. And they liked me, and I like her family. Just it all worked out for us. So today's my anniversary, so I'm feeling a little nostalgic.
Happy anniversary to
you. Happy anniversary to me. 45 years. 5 of the best years of my life.
Yeah.
All right, thanks, Andy.
I was watching a Linus Tech Tips video, and the title of it is, I'm Lucky I'm Still Married. He decided, so he bought a building so they could do LAN parties. But he decided to have one before the building was ready yet in his house. 100 people showed up. And so he had brought the crew in. They rewired everything. They put a bunch of more routers in. They had to run more power lines. And then someone brought a Mac. Why would you bring a Mac to a gaming party?
Yeah, right.
Well, I play games on it. I've got Steam.
Do you remember when we used to have the meetings at my house?
Yeah.
Around the dining room table. My wife was very polite about it.
Yep.
And I say that advisedly. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Ken from Rochester, New York. What's up, Ken?
Yes, on one of my computers,
I'm reading an article and I want to send that article to somebody via email, it directs me to Outlook. I don't use Outlook. I use Gmail. I just don't know how to disable that.
Microsoft wants you to use Outlook.
Yeah.
What browser are you using?
I'm under the assumption I'm using Chrome.
Okay. I just had to do this for a customer. There is a thing, I can find the link. It's the mail to handler, and you need to change your mail to, which is currently set to Outlook, and you need to change it to Gmail.
Are you running Windows 10 or 11?
11.
Let's see, Chrome, mail to handler. I think if you go into Chrome settings and look for handler.
So just go to Chrome settings and look for handler. And
handler or mail to, M-A-I-L-T-O. And that's going to change your protocol handler to let you pick which email service you want it or email app you want it to open.
Don't you do that through the Windows settings?
Windows will let you pick an app.
Right.
Are you using an app or are you using the Gmail website?
I'm assuming it's all Gmail.
Right, but are you using Thunderbird or Spark or an app?
No.
You're on the Gmail website. Yeah, that won't work.
The Windows setting
will only point you to an app.
Right.
So I will post this link shortly.
Oh, great. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Good luck.
Right.
Yep. Yeah, Microsoft has a series of products.
Yeah.
And
they're all called Outlook.
Yeah, and they're all called something. But shockingly, Microsoft will direct you to those, whether you like it or not. And that's the way that works. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller.
Hold on a minute. I'm still doing two calls ago.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, we got to get him through to the end.
Yeah, James from Rochester, New York. What's up, James?
Oh, thanks, Nick. Yes, my sister. A few days ago, inadvertently allowed, she had a problem with her printer, and she went into her laptop, and it said to call this number for HP. To make a long story short, she called the number, and it was hackers from India, and she accidentally allowed them to get into her computer for only about 1 minute before she realized and shut it down. My question to you is, obviously they tried to get into a whole bunch of stuff quickly, only about 1 minute, but fortunately they did not take any of her money or whatever.
Oh, good.
But, yeah, she put a freeze on her three credit agencies.
Excellent.
Now, I want to ask you about these passwords. Does she need to change every single password she's ever used?
Yes. First, she needs to dance the security tango.
Okay.
All of it. Skip nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And she should also change every password she has for everything, especially any financial thing like her bank or retirement fund or any of that stuff.
All of that stuff. First.
Everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah. Okay.
Even if they were only in for a few seconds, they could have downloaded
a few seconds in computer time is a month.
Yeah.
Yeah. They probably have a whole staff of people.
Yep.
Once they get in there. Okay. Question for you: on changing all of these passwords, she doesn't have. She used to use the Google Password Manager where they automatically get stored. So obviously she's going to switch to like an NPass. Is that what you recommend now?
We recommend NPass. The other thing so she will change all those passwords and put them in NPass. They will also, Google Chrome will notice that she has changed passwords theoretically.
Mm-hmm.
And want to change the password too.
The big password manager.
Right. And so for the next month, every time she logs into something, after she's changed her passwords, about a month, every time she logs into something, make sure she pulls the password from NPass rather than picking the one in Google.
Uh-huh.
And then over that month, Google will recognize and understand that she has changed all the passwords and save them itself.
Yeah, one of the problems with saving your passwords in the Google Password Manager is if they get your Google password, they get all of your other passwords too.
Yeah, I'm thinking they probably are able to get that one way or who knows.
Right.
So she needs to install EnPass first, correct?
Yes.
And
hold on. The first thing she should do right today, right now, is change all her passwords. So she should install EnPass and immediately change all her passwords.
Okay, EnPass first and every password today.
Every password today.
Start with the passwords that have money.
Right. Yeah,
but you're going to end up needing to do all your passwords just to be safe.
Mm-hmm. The money ones are the biggies.
Money and email, because if someone gets into your email, they can get the I Forgot links from your money accounts.
Email passwords also.
Yep.
Now, she doesn't have, like, an iPhone. She has a less expensive cell phone that doesn't have all the things like an iPhone. It's just more basic. But I had to ask you about the two-way authentication. How does that work?
So basically, two-factor authentication is something you have and something you know. So you know your password.
Okay.
But you have a phone.
Okay.
So many people have a cell phone that will take what's called an authenticator.
Well, the first step was text messaging, which is falling out of favor because it's not secure.
Right, and then before that was email.
Yeah,
which is less secure. But now they use authenticators. So if her cell phone will take an app,
her cell phone gets the two-way authentication.
Okay,
you know, like even before she was hacked. Like if you went into Chase Bank and they need to send you a code, she's able to get that code on her cell phone.
Right, that's probably a text message, which is better than nothing.
Yes, it's a text message.
Yeah, that's better than nothing. An authenticator would be better than a text message, but like you said, if she's got not particularly smartphone, then she can't run an authenticator, and I get that.
Mm-hmm. So she's going to do all that. And then my second question before I let you go is, will she want to go to some pass keys later or just do this first?
Do this first. First, this is the most important thing. Do it today.
Okay, thank you so much.
Yep, thanks. Bye. All right, apparently, that's the echo. I did not hear the music come up. That's it. We're done for another week. I want to thank everybody who called in. I want to thank our California listeners. We need more of you. But thanks to everybody who called in. Thanks to Michael Oden, who came in on his day off to keep us on the air. Thanks to Steve Ray, who stayed awake for most of the show. I'm Nick Francesco. You've been listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That would be Soundbites right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. We will see you in just 166 hours. Be good to one another, will you?